morning I'd like to talk a little bit about our heart. You know, the Bible talks a lot about our heart. You know, it says all kinds of things about it. It says that, you know, who can know it? You know, out of it, it portrays who we are. It's desperately wicked. It says different things about it. I'd like to keep that in mind. There are several things I'd like to look at. There's three different people that it talks about here. And I'd like to just keep in mind the desire of our heart. What is our desire? And the first one is in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. It says, I said in mine heart, go now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded my houses. I planted my vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith, the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and the provinces. I gat me men singers and women singers and the delight of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked, and all the works that my hands had wrought, on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He had everything, everything that his heart desired. He had more than anybody before him ever had. Anything he wanted, anything he saw, he could have it. And yet, he said, it's empty. It's passing. It's futile. It's meaningless. What was missing? I'd like to also read in Matthew. It says, and you don't have to follow along, or you can if you want to. It's in chapter 2, talking about the rich young man. And it says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said unto him, which? Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth. Up, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. I want you to notice the word treasure. He said, if you do these things, your treasure will be in heaven. And this young man He was very wealthy. He had a lot of power. He had a lot of authority. But yet his heart, that's what he sought. That's what he was, that's what motivated him. And Jesus realized this. He saw it. And he said, that's why he said what he did. He said, if you do this, those things, your treasure will be in heaven. And Jesus tells him in Matthew 6:19, it says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where three thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You can't separate the two. Where the one is, that's where the other one's going to be also. I'd like to read yet one more. In Luke chapter 19, it talks about Zacchaeus. And it said, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans and was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured and said that he was gone to the guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. You know, the thing I see here, the thing that's brought out, is that these three people, it was wealth that they sought. That was where their treasure was. That's where their heart was. That was their desire. That's what they sought after. You know, when the rich young man came there and Jesus told him and saw his problem, he told him to get rid of it because that's what was hindering him, or to use it in the way that it should be used. And then later on, if you keep reading in those verses, that Jesus says that it's harder for a rich man to go through the eye of the needle than it is for a rich man to enter heaven. And you know, in the story here of Zacchaeus, that thing that was impossible happened. He changed his heart, his desire, and he entered. He placed his treasure in a place that took him there. And we see that miracle. You know, Jesus said that with God all things are possible, and it definitely was possible because it happened. You know, I had to think of this, and you know, the life of David, of King David. You know, God said when Paul was in Acts there, when he was preaching to the people, he said that God raised up a man, the son of Jesse, and he said that he was a man after my own heart. And why was David a man after God's own heart? You know, he had a lot of things in his life that he went through, a lot of things that he did, and you know, he was deceitful, he was immoral. he did some things that were wrong. You know, he murdered. You know, he did all these things, but yet God called him a man after his own heart. And you know, if you read some verses in Psalms, and it talks about David, and I'm not going to look those up, but I'll just read here what I came across. It says he was repentant, he was obedient, he was devoted, he was loving, he was trusting, he was respectful, he was reverent, and he was humble. That was the kind of heart that David had. That was the desire of his heart. And that's why God could use it. And he did use it. He said that he had the will of God, and that he would do what God wanted him to do. You know, it seemed like David always sought God, no matter what the circumstances were. He always did that. And that was his desire. You know, last Sunday evening, we had testimony, and I heard a lot of maybe troubling things that were said, some things that you faced, and you know, just lots of different things, broad things from, you know, one spectrum to the other. But the one thing that I noticed, and I really appreciated that I heard a desire to serve and to trust God. And, you know, that's what I want in my life also. Okay, let's pray.